because God is good and all the time. Amen. Amen. I came to church this morning and I was feeling pretty good. And then this afternoon, my voice started giving me a little bit of trouble. But everything is going to be okay tonight in Jesus' name. But if I start to crack, don't pay it any mind. Don't pay it any mind. Just focus on Jesus. Would you turn with me tonight to 2 Kings chapter 2? We'll be reading from verse 8 to 14 tonight. Let's read together. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I am taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, Where is the God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Would you pray with me tonight, please? Jesus, we love you. You are wonderful, Lord God. We thank you that we're able to come into your house tonight to hear your word. Jesus, I am not capable of much, Jesus. There is not much that I am able to do on my own. So tonight I pray that the anointing of the Holy Ghost would rest upon me, that I would speak your word as you would have it be spoken, Lord God, and it would do something in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, that we would be changed, that we would be a little bit more like you, in the wonderful name of Jesus. I'm going to speak tonight on the title, A Greater Anointing. I probably should have titled it, Pursuing a Greater Anointing. Pursuing a Greater Anointing. So I think that's what I'll call it. Pursuing a Greater Anointing. I want a greater anointing on my life. Do you? Before you're seated, could you turn to one or two people? Move out of your seat and tell them, I am anointed. I am anointed. I am anointed. I am anointed. You may be seated. The story is told of a missionary that had an old truck. The truck required a push every time he needed to start it. So whenever he had to leave home, he would go to the school next door and he would get a few of the children to come and give him a push. During the day while this missionary was out, he'd be careful to always park on a hill. And if he was just running a little errand, he would leave the engine running. After a couple of years of doing this, he developed some health problems and made plans to leave the missionary field. When his replacement arrived, naturally he explained the issue with the truck. He said, well, the truck works just fine. It's really helped me out a lot. It's done everything that I needed it to do, but you have to give it a little push every time you need it to start. After a few moments, this young missionary opened up the hood and took a look underneath and saw that the problem was simply one loose connection. He immediately fixed it, turned the keys, and the truck started just fine without a push. For 2 years, this missionary used his own devices, relied on his own ingenious tricks, and endured endless trouble just to start his truck. He thought he was doing a pretty good job. He thought he was getting by pretty well, but the power to start the engine had been there the whole time. It really just needed to be connected. If we're not careful, we can live our lives like that missionary with an old truck. We rely on our own strength and ability to get through. We might not be functioning at the highest capacity, but at least I am functioning. But we're getting through. We're doing what needs to be done. We're living our lives, and somehow we are making a way. But there is a greater power that is available to us. It's meant to enable us to do a little bit more than just function, a little bit more than just getting by in life. There is a greater power that, if we are able to connect to, allows us to do more than what we are naturally able to do. We'll do God things in our lives. That truck was never made to start with a push. It was meant to start with a key. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are not meant to go through life doing the best that we can to accomplish the will of God. We are meant to walk in His anointing so that He can accomplish His mission through us. The anointing of the Holy Ghost. The scripture that we read tonight was about a prophet named Elijah and the man that would take his place, Elisha. The mantle of Elijah features prominently in these verses. So I'll tell you a little bit about a mantle just to start tonight. A mantle such as the one worn by Elijah had a practical use. It was simply a large garment made of animal skin, most likely sheepskin, and it was literally used as protection from the elements, a piece of clothing, like a winter coat. But a mantle also had a symbolic meaning to it. There was a symbolic use to the mantle. As Elijah would walk down the road wearing a mantle, it represented his prophetic authority. When someone saw this man of God walking down with this large garment of animal coat over him, they said, "Here comes the man of God." In 1 Kings 19 and 16, we see that the Lord speaks to Elijah and He tells him, "Go find Elisha and anoint him to replace you as prophet." In verse 19, we see that Elisha is found plowing in the fields, and the prophet simply walks by and throws his mantle over Elijah and keeps walking away. The calling of Elijah has fallen on Elisha. The mantle of the prophet Elijah represented his power, his authority, and his anointing from God. The anointing of Elijah. It's important for every believer to understand the anointing. We have to think of the anointing as synonymous with a calling. We might say that a person is anointed to preach, to teach, to sing. That's not entirely wrong. In the Old Testament, we see that as someone is called to a specific office, oil would be poured liberally over their head as a symbol that this person has been chosen by God. Priests were anointed in this way. And in Psalm 133, we see it talks about the precious oil that is poured upon Aaron's head, and it flows onto his beard and down to his garments. Kings were anointed this way. Long before David ever became king, the prophet Samuel poured oil upon his head as a symbol of his calling. However, for the sake of my subject tonight, it is important for us to all recognize that there is a difference between a calling and an anointing. They are two different things. Your calling is your specific purpose in the kingdom of God. And let it know, be known tonight that there is indeed a specific purpose and place for every believer in the kingdom of God. There is a calling upon your life tonight. To be called of God does not simply mean that you're called to preach. You may be called to encourage someone, to help someone. You may be called to teach a Sunday school class or a Bible study group. It might be that you might just be called to be a light in your workplace. You might be called to be a godly mother, a godly father. One of the greatest things that pastor has ever told me is that the number one ministry that I am called to is to be a mother to my son. There is a calling for every believer. There is something for every believer to do in the kingdom of God. But brothers and sisters, something to do is not enough. There is the anointing. What is the anointing? The anointing is the power and presence of the Holy Ghost upon your life to accomplish his divine purpose for his kingdom. The anointing is what enables you to effectively do what God has called you to do. The power and presence of the Holy Ghost working through your life. Your calling is your purpose. The anointing is the power that enables you to fulfill that purpose in your life. The anointing then is necessary. The heart cry of everyone in this room tonight should be, Lord, let me walk in your anointing. Because if I'm able to walk in the anointing, then I'm able to fulfill my purpose in your kingdom. Before the verses that we read tonight, we see that Elijah is in Gilgal and he says to Elisha, stay here, the Lord is sending me to Bethel. Elisha says, no, there's no way I'm leaving you. There's no way you're leaving me behind, I'm coming with you. So they get to Bethel and Elijah says to him again, stay here because the Lord is sending me on to Jericho. And the response from Elisha is really still the same. He is adamant, I'm going to Jericho with you. They get to Jericho, and once again, Elijah says, stay here. The Lord is sending me down to the Jordan. And Elisha says, no, I'm going with you. I'm not leaving you. Elisha already had a calling on his life. He was chosen to be a prophet. He had been trained to be a prophet, and your teacher is leaving you now. My first thought is, go do what you've been trained to do, Elisha. Why not just stay in Jericho? Why not just continue to stay? Why continue to follow Elijah, not knowing where you're going, not knowing what mess he's going to get into next, not knowing who's going to be mad at him next, who's going to try and kill him next? You're chosen to be a prophet. Stay where it's comfortable. You're called to be a parent. Just do your thing. God has called you to teach. Why not just teach? You're called to be a good Christian. Why not just go around doing the best that you can? Brothers and sisters, there is something more. Elisha was after something more. We need something more. Something more than just a calling. Something more than just a purpose. Something more than just something to do. We need something more. Something more. We need something more. When you walk into school tomorrow, you need something more than what you're just capable of doing. When you go into your job tomorrow, you need something more than just you. When you go home and you're trying to be a parent or a wife or a husband, you need something more. Something more than just what we're capable of doing. We need something more than serving or greeting or preaching or teaching or singing. We need something more than just being kind. We need something more than just being able to encourage someone. We need something more than just being able to help someone. Brothers and sisters, we need the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon our lives to do what we are called to do every moment of every day that we walk this earth. To have or to walk in the anointing of the Holy Ghost means going the extra mile. And the fact is that not everyone is going to go the extra mile. Not everyone is going to pursue the anointing of God. 50 so-called prophets stood far off in a distance and watched as Elisha went the extra mile. They wanted a good view of what was about to happen, but they had no desire to be in close proximity to the power of God. It's not enough to want to see God do great things. It's not enough to watch as God uses others to do great things in the kingdom. But is there someone here tonight that has the desire to be in close proximity to the power of God in your life? If so, then the anointing is available to each and every one of us tonight. Each and every one of us, there is a greater anointing available to you. There is a closer walk with the Holy Ghost that is available to you tonight. The question is, how badly do you want it? Is there a great need within you for something more than just what you are physically capable of? Is there a great need within you for something more than what you're intellectually capable of? Is there a great need within you for the Holy Ghost to be at work through you? Elijah took off his mantle and he rolled it up and he struck the waters of the Jordan and it divided. Elijah and Elisha then walks across and the two men gets to the other side. And then Elijah, the great prophet of God, looks to Elisha and says, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken away?" A great man of God is standing in front of him. A man that called down fire from heaven. He prayed that there be no rain, and then he prayed that there would be rain. He was fed by angels and fed by ravens. A great man of God is asking, "What can I do for you?" What does Elisha respond? A double portion of your spirit. A double portion of the spirit that rests upon you. More than just my regular inheritance that I'm entitled to. I want to be anointed beyond measure. He understood that the anointing was precious. And he followed from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho to Jordan. He saw the Spirit of God upon this man, and he followed because it was precious. The Spirit upon Elijah was precious. He wanted something more than just a calling, something more than just a job to do, something more than a title, something more than just being called a prophet. He wanted to be anointed. Is there someone in here tonight that wants to be anointed? Elisha understood that the anointing was necessary, and this made him ask. He didn't ask for stuff. He didn't ask for miracles. He didn't ask for just anything he could have asked for. He asked for anointing, the authority and power to be upon his life as it had been upon Elijah's life. He wanted this to be his inheritance. He wanted this to be the one thing that was passed down. The Spirit of God upon my life as it has been upon yours. I wonder what would happen if we chose to reevaluate the things that we ask of God for our lives. We understand that the anointing of God is precious and valuable beyond measure, but do we understand the necessity of walking in the anointing every day? We need the anointing of God working through our lives. I don't want money, I want to be anointed. I don't want material possessions, I want to be anointed. I don't want to be comfortable, brothers and sisters, I want to be anointed. I don't want to be seen, I don't want to be important, I want to be anointed. I don't want to just be a mother or a father, I want to be an anointed mother, an anointed father. I don't just want to be a regular student. I want to be an anointed student as I walk through the halls of my school. I don't want to be an ordinary employee, but every day that I walk onto that job, I want the anointing of the Holy Ghost to go with me. What is your prayer tonight? Is that your desire tonight, brothers and sisters? There is a divine purpose for each and every one of you, and a special anointing is available to you to fulfill that purpose. The anointing is necessary. But how often do we walk through our life trying to do it on our own, trying to get up enough strength to get through today, trying to build enough courage to tell that friend about Jesus, trying to get enough confidence to teach that Bible study, trying to pull yourself together to be a better parent, trying to find the right words to encourage that hurting friend, trying to cross every T and dot every I in your life, trying to get through life, trying to get through today, trying to do everything that you can to be successful, trying to find a way through the difficult days of life. Brothers and sisters, the anointing makes the difference in your life. The anointing is precious, and the anointing of God is necessary. Zechariah 4 and 6, not by might, and it is not by power, but it is by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Brothers and sisters, it's not about how intelligent you are. It's not about how capable you are. It's not about how strong you are. It's not about how much money you have, but it is about the Spirit of God working through your life every day that you live. The book of Isaiah chapter 10 tells us that it is the yoke that the yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. The anointing in your lives will break bondages. It will break the chains that wraps itself around you as you walk through life, as you start to struggle and you try to be free. The anointing in your life is what makes you free. The anointing in your life is what allows you to walk in the freedom that Jesus has given you. Jesus quotes Isaiah in Luke chapter 4 and said that he was anointed to preach the gospel, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to recover the sight of the blind. The anointing is necessary. If the anointing was necessary for Jesus, the anointing is more than necessary for me. The anointing unleashes the purpose of God in your life. But the anointing requires something of us. God calls Elijah to go and deliver a message. He gets up and he forgets everything and he follows God. His life was no longer his, but God's. Elisha is called by God in a field. And he gets up and leaves everything and follows the prophet. Their lives weren't theirs. They were pretty much hated, threatened. Elijah got lonely in the press. This great man of God begged God to kill him. There was a price to pay for his anointing. Brothers and sisters, the greater the anointing, the greater the cost. The closer you get to Jesus, the greater the anointing. And the greater the anointing on your life will be, the greater the cost you are going to have to pay. The more you lean on God, the greater the anointing. And the greater the anointing in your life, the greater your lean needs to be. What is the cost The cost is your will, your ambition, your pride. The cost is a consecrated life, a surrendered heart. In the book of Exodus chapter 30, Moses is given a recipe on how to make the anointing oil. The anointing oil was to be used to consecrate the priest, the tabernacle, and all the contents of it. For the sake of time tonight, I'm not going to read the scriptures, but you're welcome to follow along on the screen behind me. Exodus 30, verses 23 and 24, and possibly 25. The anointing oil was composed of five ingredients: myrrh, cinnamon, calamus, cassia, and olive oil. I think that each ingredient has something to teach us tonight. The myrrh was expensive but bitter, associated with death. According to John chapter 19 and 39, Jesus' body was buried with 100 pounds of myrrh mixed with aloes. Legend says that the Roman Emperor Nero burnt a year's worth of it at his wife's funeral. We can associate the first ingredient with death. And coincidentally, it was used as a major ingredient in embalming fluid. Myrrh was a purifier in death. Romans 12 and 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The purpose of the anointing in your life is to accomplish Jesus' purpose. To be a living sacrifice is to place our hearts on the altar before God and say, Lord, it's no longer my way, it's your way. We can't hang on to our own ambitions, our own desires, our own will, and still accomplish the will of God in our lives. Brothers and sisters, it's literally one way or the other way. It's our way or God's way. Jesus is looking for someone who will surrender everything to him, to walk in the presence and power of the Holy Ghost, the way Jesus intends us to do means dying to ourselves. Romans 6, verses 11 to 13, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. There is a purify effect to death, a purifying effect to death in your life. As we die to self, Jesus begins to live more fully within us. Over and over and over again in Scripture, it speaks of life working through death. Paul said that I'm crucified with Christ, but it's not me that's dying. I'm living with Christ. It's Christ that lives within me when I die to self. The death of self-will, the death of self-ambition, the death of sin, the death of earthly dreams, so that Jesus can work his divine will and purpose through your life. The anointing is necessary, but the anointing is costly. The second ingredient was cinnamon. Today it's widely available, but in the days of Moses it wasn't available where they were. Cinnamon was only available in the Far East or the Orient, and to obtain this particular spice, they would have to go a long way by foot or both or a combination, and then pay a lot of money just to get cinnamon. It required great sacrifice to acquire this particular ingredient for the anointing oil. How much are you willing to sacrifice to walk in the anointing of the Holy Ghost? If he asks you to pray instead of sleep, are you willing? If he asks you to fast, are you willing? If he asks you to give your time, your money, your talent, are you willing? If he asks you to sacrifice your comfort, would you be willing? To walk in the anointing of the Holy Ghost means sacrifice. Present yourself as a living sacrifice, offering everything that we are before God and say, Lord, have your way, have your will. Third ingredient, calamus, is known to heal many diseases. But in order to release the healing properties of this particular herb, it had to be broken and then it had to be crushed. Interestingly, it's also a very sweet herb. It had to be broken and it had to be crushed. Let's read what Paul describes in 2 Corinthians. He tells of a little bit of the things that he and the other apostles were going through. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7 to 9. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. He chooses to fill weak, incapable, flawed beings with the power of his spirit. With the power of his spirit. He chooses to fill. Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon, was known as the Prince of Preachers. He's preached about 600 messages by the time he was 20. He once said that without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are ships without the wind, branches without sap, coal without fire. We are completely useless. What can we do without God? What can we accomplish without God? He uses weak things. He chooses weak things. He fills empty vessels. Paul said that we are troubled, but not distressed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. The breaking and crushing of the vessel exposes the treasure within. As long as the vessel is intact, you're never going to see what's inside. But if that earthen vessel is broken, the treasure within comes flowing out. As long as we try to be strong enough, good enough, capable enough, the power of the Holy Ghost remains hidden inside of us. We can try to get through life, try to get through today, try to do something of value in our life, but it will be useless. We'll just keep missing the mark, keep walking a vicious circle, trying to get somewhere but never really getting anywhere, trying to be fulfilled in our lives but never really being fulfilled, trying to do something but never really doing anything. But brothers and sisters, if we're willing to surrender and say, Jesus, I'm not capable of much. Jesus, I'm not enough on my own. I'm broken and weak and insufficient. Then, brothers and sisters, the anointing of the Holy Ghost will flow through our lives and impact our city and impact this province and this country and this world through brokenness. The next ingredient was cassia. The purple cassia grows upright for a period of time and then begins to bend over. The flower will not bloom as long as it is standing upright and straight. But as the minute the plant begins to bend, the flower begins to bloom. Its branches also retain water and thrives best when planted close to water or swampy conditions. It needs to bend and it needs to be planted in the right soil. The Holy Ghost will not compete with us. We cannot be filled to the brim and overflowing with him if we are already filled with us, filled with our desires, filled with our dreams and goals, filled with our wills, filled with the world, filled with anger and jealousy, filled with hatred and ambition, filled with everything but him. Jesus fills empty vessels. Jesus uses empty vessels. We have to bow. The degree to which the anointing of God will flow through your life is the degree to which we are willing to empty ourselves and bow to the Lordship of Christ every single day within our lives, our minds, our hearts. The anointing is precious, it's necessary, and costly. The final ingredient was olive oil. Throughout Scripture, oil is symbolic of the Holy Ghost. Oil was used to blend all the ingredients together. It was the difference maker. It took a bunch of raw ingredients that didn't really mean much on their own, that didn't really mix or combine on their own, and it binded them together to make something of it. The Holy Ghost is the transformative power within the mixture of our lives. When we take the crushings of life, our brokenness and sacrifice and humility, and mix it with his power, then the anointing begins to flow through us to a greater extent. Because our brokenness, through our brokenness, and through our sacrifice, and through our bowing, we emptied ourselves of the will that fights for supremacy and control and glory in our lives. The anointing is precious and necessary, costly, but available. Who can be anointed? Who can walk in the anointing of the Holy Ghost? Everyone in this sanctuary. The anointing is available tonight. But your presence here tonight does not mean that you will walk in the anointing. First of all, let me say that if you do not have the Holy Ghost, no one can give you the Holy Ghost but God. The Holy Ghost cannot be prayed into someone. Jesus fills. If you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, Jesus can fill you tonight. You've been filled with the Holy Ghost, Jesus wants to fill you some more before you leave here. But when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, the power of God lives within you. There is authority living within you. When you allow the vessel to break, then that power and that authority comes flowing out. You say, how was Elisha broken? How did he bow? How did he sacrifice? You know, he was called a prophet. He was a prophet in training, yet the Bible tells me that he ministered unto Elijah. He served, like Jesus would get on his knees and wash the feet of his disciples in humility. Elisha would serve Elijah and pour water on the hands of the man of God. After sacrificing his life and leaving everything he had behind, he'd humble himself and serve. And when it came time to take his place and fulfill the call of God upon his life, he would realize, I need something more. I'm missing something. I've watched the man of God. I've been with him as he performed miracles. I've seen him handle different situations. I know what I'm called to do, but I'm missing something. I'm missing a necessary ingredient. I need to be anointed above measure. The music can come back tonight. Elijah was taken up and his mantle then falls to the ground. Elisha doesn't just stand there and look at it. What would have looking at it done for him? Nothing. He had to decide to pick it up and he'd had to decide to use it. He rips his own clothes and he picks up Elijah's mantle. And he didn't just say, hey, my master's gone. How do I know that I've gotten what I wanted? How do I know that I've received a double portion of his spirit? How do I know that I have it? He didn't just stand there and wonder. He ran after and he picked up the very symbol of his teacher's anointing and authority. And in effect, he said, this is mine. He gets back to the Jordan, he rolls up the mantle, he strikes the water, and what does he say? Where is Elijah? Where is the man of God? No, he strikes the waters of the Jordan, and he says, where is the God of Elijah? Where is the God that sent down fire? Where is the God that stopped the rain? Where is the God that parted the waters? Where is the God that was upon the life of Elijah? I can't be a prophet to this people. I can't fulfill my purpose without the spirit of that God. And while the sons of the prophets stood afar off, gazing, looking, thinking, where is Elijah? Elisha stood by the Jordan River, looking, thinking, asking, where is the God of Elijah? It's not about us, brothers and sisters. It's not about Elijah, brothers and sisters. It's not about us. It's not about us. It's about how much of Jesus is flowing through us. We need the anointing, and the anointing is available to us tonight. Would you stand with me, please? I'm not usually this frank, but I'll be frank tonight. I came to church this morning thinking, Lord, I don't want to preach this message. Lord, this is not the message for me to preach. Let me find something else. And then the man of God walked to this pulpit this morning and confirmed his word that it is not by power and it is not by might, but it is by my spirit, saith the Lord. There is something for each and every one of you to do in the kingdom of God. In your home, in your work, in your school, in your community, in your church. There's a purpose. Jesus has a purpose, a divine purpose for your life to be fulfilled. But it is not about how strong you are. And it is not about how smart you are. And it's not about how many people are on your side and how many people are rooting for you. It is not about what the odds look like. Fulfilling the purpose of God for your life is dependent on His very Spirit. I want to clarify tonight that the anointing is not a feeling. The anointing is not goosebumps. The anointing is not feeling happy, and the anointing is not jumping. The anointing is not shouting, and the anointing is not emotion. I might not feel very good in my body right now, but the anointing is knowing that I stand here having an assurance that I walk in the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost. That where I walk, He walks. That when I go into the job, I'm not going by myself, but the Spirit of the Lord goes with me. I just have to remain broken, be willing to sacrifice, be willing to bow, and be willing to die, so that His Spirit there's someone in here that desires to pursue a greater anointing. If that is you, would you raise your hand tonight and ask of Him, because the anointing of the Holy Ghost is in this place. Jesus is in this place right now. That is your desire. The Spirit of God is here. There is a greater anointing. He wants to fill us a little bit more with His Spirit. a hungry people tonight, Lord God. We are a desperate people tonight. We want to walk in your spirit. We want to live in your spirit. We want to breathe in your spirit. We want to have our being in your spirit, Lord God. There's not much we can do on our own. There is not much that we're able to do on our own, Jesus. There's not much that we're able to accomplish on our own. But there's one thing that we know tonight as a people. We want to accomplish your divine purpose for our lives, for our church. So Jesus, we ask that you would pour out the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon us without measure. That you'll fill us a little bit more each day. That you'll help us to be available to you, Lord God, in the way that you want to use us. That you help us to bow and die and sacrifice within our lives so that you could live fully. I pray that you'll break down the walls of pride, the walls of ambition, the walls of self-will around us, Lord God, and break this earthen vessel so that your glory could flow through us, flow through our lives. Anoint us, Lord. Anoint us without measure. Give us a double portion tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Ghost. We are not worthy, Lord God, but we thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Shalabashata Yalabakosh. We are a hungry people, Lord God. Hungry for more of your presence. Hungry for more of your spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The altar is open tonight. If you want to pursue a greater anointing in your life, will you take that walk of faith tonight to the altar and seek his face? He's here. He's here. He's here. Hallelujah, Jesus.